Today's Mishnah in Masechet Mikvaot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Aleph Mishnah Shmu?
Dalet.
Mishnah Dalet. Okay, so we've been talking about cases where we had, remember, our three different cases that passed, so that were metame the water, and three different things that were exposed to the water. We're going to be continuing some of that. The three cases that we had that were metame was, you had an adam tame who drank out of this megavi, and you had somebody who was tevel, a kli that was tame, was the second case, and we had mayim tmeim that got mixed in, that was the third case, and then we had, as the cases that became tame, somebody tor subsequently drank, somebody subsequently was teva, a kli that was tor, and a kikar fell into the water, and now there was a question of whether it was mediach et yadav. Those were the three things that we had discussed. But what about if actually, into these Gavi waters, the Megevaim, a Nafal Letochan mate? How about if, here we've been talking about, you know, things that are lesser levels of Tuma, but suppose an actual mace had fallen into the water, or maybe somebody who is Tame, he walked through that water. It's not just a question of the exposure to a drop that had fallen out of his mouth. Now the question is, remember, according to the Rambam, and I think now is the time maybe to point out the tremendous difference in how it is that the underlying vision of what the concept of mikveh is between the Rambam and the other shitas actually comes into play here. The Rambam's vision of mikveh is not the bittul of the individual to the earth as it is, but rather to the nature of pristine waters of the earth, not to the chibur that those waters provide you to the earth. So because of that, the way that the Rambam is understanding the entire idea over here is fundamentally different than the way the other Rishonim are. The other Rishonim see the different levels of mikvahs, the lowest level, the Gavi level, which is the Megevaim. That's the basic level, which according to the other Rishonim is, there is water, it's on the surface of the earth, there's nothing between it and the earth. The only reason it isn't a mikveh is because of the fact that it doesn't have the Arboim Soh, which is the necessary shear of Mayim Shekol B'tzora Olabah. Okay, so therefore, all of the Mishnayos up until now, according to all of those shitas, were a function of, did you remove the water from the puddle? If you remove the water from the puddle, so then it's no longer natural water, and therefore, it's going to be mekabel tuma. According to the Rambam, that is not the point. Water that's on the ground can be mekabel tuma. What's the difference if it's in the ground or it's in a container? The only difference is whether there's been any type of human kavana for it. That's the point. So pristine water has not been exposed to the ugliness of humans. That's the point. So as long as we don't have anybody that wanted to use this water, and according to Rambam, that goes in both directions. The original Kabbalah's tumah of the water has to be because somebody wanted that, so somebody drank from it, or somebody put in a kli that was tameh, or so on. That's what enabled that water to become tameh. And the giving over of that tumah to someone or to a kli also requires a separate desire for that water to be part of human agency. And therefore, the Rambam has the beautiful understanding of Rabbi Shimon at the end of the last mission that we had, in which since over there, the question is that water came in from elsewhere, which was tame, which has nothing to do with the human interference. It has to do with a mixture of actual water there, that over there, Rabbi Shimon says, well, that doesn't have anything to do with your desire for it, which makes a heck of a lot of sense. But only in that case, only in the problem of whether you had in mind that you wanted to be mediach yada. So now when we're talking over here, someone who is dead falls into the water. From the best data in our hands, the dead man had no thought of washing off in the water, and therefore there was no human agency at all. And even if somebody's tummy was walking through the water, if that was not his intent, and all he did was get wet and cold, he didn't want to walk through that water. And therefore, in this case, there's nothing to be metame at all. So if someone afterwards, you'd think, oh my God, an actual dead body was in the water, just the opposite. A dead body in the water does not give any kind of tumah. And in that case, if somebody who was tahor went and drank from it, he would be tahor, because either Aliba the Rambam, because there was no rutzen to be in it, or Aliba all of the other pshitot, nobody was tolesh that water. Nobody took the water out of the puddle, which is necessary in order to make it no longer natural water. According to Rambam, natural water is the purity of the water from humans and not its connection to puddles. So now, Echad Megiva'im. Now, when we've been talking about Gavi water over here, it's not only Megiva'im. It would be exactly the same if it's inside of a cistern, or if it's in a ditch, or if it's in a cave. It's all the same thing. So if it's, and for that matter, even if it's water running off of a mountain that is no longer running. Now, why does it have to be no longer running? Because the next stage of the purity of water is where it is running along and still moving. We're going to get to that in the next Mishnah. But so, if we're not up to level two, we're still level one. So level one is Megevayim, Meborot, Shichin, Maharot, Memikvah, doesn't matter. Wherever you've got any kind of collection of this water, same as the first three Mishnahs that we had, including even Meitamtsiot, Shepasku. So Meitamtsiot are water that's being mitmatsei, it's like leaking out of the very soaking mountain, and the water is, had flown down, but is no longer still flowing. Same thing as Megivaot. They could be Mikvaot, as long as Ein Ben Arba'im Sa'ah, and then they're the same as a Megavi. It's exactly the same. So if it's a Mikvah She'ein Ben Arba'im Sa'ah, it's basically all the same. And in all of these cases, Bisha'at HaGishamim, HaKol Tahor, you do not have to worry about whether one of the crazy things happened in the first three Mishnayos. You're walking around. It's the middle of the rainy season. You're not in the middle of town, and nobody is outdoors. You don't have to worry that, well, maybe some guy who was tummy just came along and he drank from this puddle, and if I drink from it, I'm going to be tummy. Nah. If it's B'shat HaGishamim, you can assume that all of these cases, the Meboros, the Meimikvos, they are all Tahor. Because even if, first of all, it's pouring, so nobody even came. And even if somebody had, as we're going to see, if water is continuing to come down because of the rain, it washes out that water and everything becomes Tahor. So therefore, you don't have to worry that somebody came along and drank from it. And besides that, there's water all over the place that's available to people. Why would they come to my puddle to drink water? And therefore, you don't have to be choshesh. But once the rains stop, so now it's a function of time. The rains have stopped and you're near the town, or you're driving along the highway and you're near the highway. Now, at that case, people stop in order to get a drink. And they don't hesitate to go out of the car in order to go down and take some megivoyim. There you have to worry that maybe somebody was an Am HaAretz, was Shaisa, and people are Shaisa from it. But still, if it's far away from places where people are generally found, you don't have to worry yet. It's Torin, Ad Shi'alchu Rov Bnei Adam, until basically wherever you are has been overrun by those bipedal monstrosities that we call humans. And they are the ones who make the problems, and then we have to worry that maybe indeed there was an Am HaAretz that had taken a drink from it. So at that point, you're going to have to be choshesh that anything at all is tummy. Ad Shi'alchu Rov Bnei Adam. Okay, that becomes the moment of tumah. Mishnah, hey. Me'ematai taharatan. So at what point would we say that when these puddles were becheskas tumah, that then they're considered to become tahor, even though up until now it's been summertime, the rains hadn't started yet, and we were assuming that people were walking around and had taken drinks or had been tovel stuff in it. When can I stop worrying about that? So here we're talking about all of those cases that we had before. So Beit Shammai Omrim, Mi sheyirbu v'yishtofu. So the moment that we have a lot of rainwater that comes and fills up these puddles, and what's more, there's so much water that the water has already started coming out of the puddle. It's coming out of the cistern. So that way, basically, we view it as having washed away the original mixture in there, and now we're talking about a fresh puddle. Beit Hillel Omrim, you don't need both. Once there's a lot of rain and you have rove rainwater, that's mavato, anything that would have been tame. Afapi shalosh atfu. It doesn't need to overflow. It just needs to be a lot of new natural water. Rabbi Shimon says, well, I mean, if you've got a very low kind of gavi, so this is like a puddle that doesn't have much water, so then you can have a little bit of rain. That would be enough to cause it to overflow. And then that would also be okay, even though it was only overflowed and there wasn't necessarily enough water to be mevatelet. Once it overflows, it's basically considered to be like a new puddle. And in all of these cases, then it becomes sheirim lechala. You're allowed. Now, this is a big machlokas rishonim. What exactly does it mean when it says sheirim lechala? Because according to the Rambam, what it means is that you're allowed to use it for something that was meant to be tahor for challah, but you cannot use it for actually being metayer the challah itself. So you're allowed to use these waters. Let's say if you have an isa that you're going to take challah from, right now it's not challah, so you're baking the bread with this water, it's considered to be kosher. However, there's other shitas, including your Rush, Upaskin, that you're actually allowed to use it directly for kalim that are going to be used for challah. And you can actually take challah, cook the challah with this, and that would be fine. Furthermore, there's a question about whether when it says challah, does it mean truma, which is usually the case, that challah and truma are given the same din? Or is this a special halacha of dvorim hatvulim lechala? And what's more, at that point, they're kosher for netilas yadayim. But note, netilas yadayim. So netilas yadayim would mean that you put a kli into this water, and then you pour them over your water, over your hands. But you're not allowed to stick your hands in them in order to be metayer them. That is the way the Rambam paskins. That's the way that we paskin la halacha. However, the Ravid paskins that even tfilas yadayim is kosher in a bor, a mikveh that does not have arboim sa'ah, which is not how we paskin, but that shouldn't be taken for granted that when it says over here, lito me'am liyadayim, it means only netilas yadayim. According to the Ravid, it means even for tfilas yadayim. All right, Rabotai. Wonderful. We're moving ahead in our appreciation of mikvaot. Definitely the right way to bring up children is to have them learning mikvaot from a rather early age. See you later. Especially Mei Gevayim. I mean, my gosh, that should be a fundamental sugya. Take care.